My guest this evening is something of a throwback, and I mean that in the best of ways. Thomas Lauderdale, the bandleader and pianist of the Little Orchestra, known as Pink Martini, has called it a rollicking around-the-world musical adventure and added, if the United Nations had a house band in 1962, hopefully we'd be that band. Cincinnatians, including myself, enjoyed Pink Martini a year ago when they performed with the Cincinnati Pops at Music Hall. They're coming back for a more intimate gig on Thursday evening at the recently renovated Memorial Hall next door to Music Hall. I'm so glad to talk with you, Thomas.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been making music with Pink Martini for more than two decades. I love the story about what inspired you to create your unusual ensemble. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the band started in 1994. I had just graduated from college and was back in Portland, Oregon, where I grew up. Ostensibly, I wanted to go into politics. I wanted to become mayor eventually of Portland. So I did various political fundraisers and was sort of dismayed at the music that was playing at these fundraisers. And so I started the band to bring a little bit of Breakfast at Tiffany's to political fundraising. And more specifically, in 1994, there was a nasty attempt to amend the Oregon Constitution to declare homosexuality illegal, along with bestiality, pedophilia, and necrophilia. And I was on the campaign in opposition to this, and there was, I had just seen Pee Wee Herman's Christmas special, which has, in the course of 45 minutes, every guest star imaginable, from Grace Jones, Charo, Annette Funicello, Frankie Avalon, Katie Lang, Dinah Shore, Zsa Zsa Gabor, Joan Rivers, Oprah Winfrey, Whoopi Goldberg, Magic Johnson, Little Richard, and the Del Rubio triplets, who were three gals, three guitars, somewhere between the ages of 70 and 80, who were literally triplets. They wore mini skirts and booties and looked exactly alike and had huge hair and would play guitar and warble covers of Walk Like an Egyptian and Whip It. So I brought them to town for a week to do a series of concerts in nursing homes and retirement homes, hospitals, and rotary meetings. And then they would say at the end of their sort of short set, please vote no on Measure 13. And at the end of the week, we had a big public show with the Del Rubio triplets. And I couldn't get a hold of the surf band that I wanted to open for the Del Rubios. And so I started, threw on a cocktail dress and started Pink Martini. That's literally how it started.
So could you describe a little bit more? You have about a dozen musicians in Pink Martini. Is that right?
That's right. A lot of the times, especially in this country, we play with symphony orchestras. So there are 10 to 12 of us. And then sometimes, these orchestras are 80 more people. Sometimes there are more than 100 people on stage.
For your concert this week, you're going to be featuring China Forbes, and I understand she was a classmate of yours at Harvard. And a lot of your music has a vocal component to it. So could you talk a little bit about the music? Because I know you do things in lots of different languages and all sorts of things. Maybe talk a little bit about China, too.
So China Forbes and I went to college together. She was studying painting and was studying history and literature. We lived in the same college dormitory, Adams House, which was the artsy international house on campus, which was very different from the rest of the campus. When the band first started, she was living in New York. We were living in Portland, and I didn't really get along with the first singer that the band had. And so I called up China Forbes and tricked her into flying out to Oregon and playing with us, and then sort of proceeded to fly her out seemingly almost every other weekend to do concerts with us. And eventually she, in 1998, after we released our first album, she moved to Portland. She's incredible. You know, she sings in 25 different languages and has an incredible ear for language. She grew up studying French and Italian, but she's also an actress and so has this incredible sense of drama and ability to sing convincingly, seemingly without an accent in some cases, these songs in different languages.
Well, and that certainly fits then with the, because you play all different genres, classical and jazz and old-fashioned pop, some standards. How do you go about selecting the music that you use for your performances?
Well, it's sort of similar to the music that we select to put on our albums. It's kind of music that I love, music that we've written, collaborated with other friends in terms of writing songs. And the goal is really to kind of create a very diverse repertoire, which moves, smoothly one song to the next. It has everything from, classical, like opera arias, to Cesaria Evora, to Edith Piaf, to Dean Martin and Rufus Wainwright. And similarly, I think that the repertoire of the band, both on stage and also on record, needs to be sort of diverse and interesting one song to the next, and yet very different.
You've done quite a few recordings, haven't you? And you have your own label that you put stuff on,
yep.
Is that
we
right?
We started a label when we made our first album. We decided that it would be best just to remain independent. So we started our own label. We named it after my dog, Heinz. And we've made, I think this is our ninth studio album.
So when you are here, do you have a certain number, a special signature number, something like that, that people might look forward to hearing when you perform?
I think that we almost always play Amado Mio, which is from the first album. We also always play Je ne veux pas parler, which is the first song that Chyna and I wrote back in 1996 with the chorus, which means, I don't want to work, I want to smoke. And a song from our third album, Hey Eugene, which was written by Chyna. And Brazil is always the finale with the great song from 1942 of Ari Barroso. The rest of the set is a balance of material from all of our various albums, as well as songs that aren't on any album. And certainly when we come, we'll be playing a lot of songs from the new album. They're in French, Arabic, Armenian, Turkish, Portuguese, and Farsi.
And I understand you've got one that's in Hosa. Is that,
yes, right.
Is that true?
The click language of South Africa. The song that you're referring to is Pata Pata, which was first performed by Miriam Makeba in the 60s. When we were working on that song, eventually we lowered the key and made it a little funkier, a little bit more like Herbie Hancock's Bring Down the Birds from the soundtrack of Blow Up, that sort of like mid-60s kind of vibe.
You've been at this for more than 20 years. Is there something you want to say about what keeps you going? What keeps you, you know, finding new things and, you know, you're still touring, you're still recording? What fuels that?
Well, it's kind of amazing to me that the band is still functioning. I mean, we're going the opposite direction of pop culture, of global pop culture, singing songs sort of that are in many ways old-fashioned because they have real melodies and beautiful lyrics, and there's no shouting or swearing. It's amazing to me that it seems like such a preposterous proposition, this band, but somehow I think it's resonated through the years with a certain segment of the population, largely, you know, an NPR population in this country. That seems to be our demographic. And I think that also having a constant stream of special guests and guest stars making appearances on both the albums as well as on stage. Worked with all kinds of people from Phyllis Diller, who recorded at age 95 the song Smile for our album Get Happy, to people like Mamie Van Doren, to Rufus Wainwright and his sister Martha, to people like Kim Hosswriter, who's the editor-in-chief of Paper Magazine in New York City, or Ikram Goldman, who was the one who really got Michelle Obama interested in fashion and design, to people like George Moustaki, who wrote Milor for the great Edith Piaf, to Adamo, who is a French singer from the 60s, to people like Hiroshi Wada, who for 50 years was a pop star in Japan, to Saoru Yuki, also sort of the Barbra Streisand of Japan, to the Von Trapps, the great-grandchildren of Maria and Georg. So I think that this kind of collaborations always keeps the band, keeps me, keeps the audience, hopefully, always interested and enthused. Like, we just did a big New Year's Eve show at Disney Hall. We did two concerts on New Year's Eve with Chyna Forbes and our other singer, Storm Large, and the Von Trapps, and Ari Shapiro from NPR. There was a cantor from Portland, Oregon, cantor Ida Ray Kahana. And then we also had a high school mariachi band from Tucson, Arizona, and Rita Moreno, the legendary actress and singer.
For more information about Pink Martini's upcoming appearance at Memorial Hall in Over the Rhine, follow the link that you'll find at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I've been talking with Thomas Lauderdale, the founder of the Little Orchestra that will be charming Cincinnati audiences this coming Thursday, March 9th. Thanks very much, Thomas.
Thank you so much.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.
Cet homme au grand sombrero habite à Mexico. Son couvre-chef comme il est beau, un merveilleux chapeau. Cet homme au grand sombrero est un type épatant. Les belles muchachas du pays ont le béguin pour lui car lorsqu'il pleut à torrent. Elles se mettent à l'abri sous son grand sombrero quand il fait chaud dans les ranchos. Toutes les dames courent à l'ombre du beau caballero. Bravo! Elles se bousculent au marché autour de sa charrette car pour le comte Fleurette, il s'y connaît, c'est bien. Cet homme au grand sombrero, non plus grand que son cœur. Cet homme au grand sombrero habite à Mexico. Il a un cœur si grand, si beau, un merveilleux chapeau. Elle se bouscule au marché autour de sa charrette. Capo le comte Fleurette, il s'y connaît si bien. Cet homme au grand sombrero, l'homme plus grand que son cœur.